seems to me that you know just what to say. But words are only words. Can you show me something else? Can you swear to me that you'll always be this way? Show me how you feel more than ever, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me today on Sasha Talks Special Edition. I cover spirituality in many different life topics, and one that I've been thinking of relaying for a long period of time was astral travel and the astral dimension. And I thought it would be really fun to bring on a guest, a returning guest whom I'm proud of introducing, is Lady Catherine.
I'm here. Thank you, Sasha. I love being with you. I love doing radio segments with you. I love bantering with you. I love discussing anything with you. It's really wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. And I know that over the past few days, you and I were pitching topics to one another. And the one that resonated with me, because of probably the timing and my experiences in life, has to do with astral dimension. And you had a lot to say about that. So today we'll be covering that. But because we also have been practicing for at least 30 years, how would you define astral travel?
Define it. It's just, for me, it's just a part of me. It's always been a part of me. I can't definitively say when it began to happen because it's always happened. I just didn't always understand what it was. It's basically a powerful mystifying form of energy where a soul separates from the physical body and it transverses to the astral plane. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. Then it's literally leaving the physical body and traveling to the astral plane.
Do you have one of your early memories when that happened that left a great impression on you?
Because I'd always done it, and I had always done it in sleep, so it was unconscious. And I can sit here and say I've never consciously sat down and gone into a meditative state where I decided that I was going to astral travel. That's how much a part of me it is. But the one travel that I have that stands out the most vibrantly in my life was that 3 years ago over in Italy, I was a passenger in a car. And when I'm sitting still, I don't want to say zone out, but go into a meditative state because of who I am, being so sensitive and being, was driving down the street as a passenger, and I ended up in this realm I'd never seen before. And I looked around and I saw a lady standing there, and she introduced herself as Sarah, and I asked her where I was, and she said, "You're in fifth dimension." And at that time, I'd heard about fifth dimension, didn't really think much about it, and didn't think I would see it in this lifetime. At any rate, when I came out of the dimension, she was still with me, followed me home, and told me that she was one of my new spirit guides. She comes in and out of my life routinely. She's not with me 24 hours a day. But when she's here, she's a makeup artist. She's funny. And she will come in sometimes if I have a very difficult female client or a twin flame relation situation. She's phenomenal. But I met her in fifth dimension. So that's pretty much my most, I guess, my favorite experience with astral traveling.
That is one thing you and I have in common. I have not ever sat down to astral travel anywhere consciously. And I had recently shared with you that is it normal, because I've caught myself astral traveling in my waking life, and it is completely outside of my control, and we leave our bodies in and out often without realizing it.
Yes, we do. And when we're spiritually awake, it makes more sense than to someone who may be vibrating on first dimension level or vibrating on a non-spiritual level. They can't make sense of it. And it's to say that they can even astral travel any higher than first or second dimension. Honestly, you have ascended to fifth dimension. And so it's a matter of now keeping the ego in check, really keeping it in check, staying on top of it, and allowing it to soar and accept and embrace who you really are.
And that definitely takes a lot of spiritual and self-development, because I know I've been living through it. Now, in terms of astral travel, I've always found it interesting in my life that I receive visitors when I'm sleeping, but my visitors happen to be very specific. They happen to be men that I cross paths with. And these people are individuals that are still, to my knowledge, alive and they're to this day. Do you receive astral visitors?
I do, but only one or two. And they've been very significant in my life in terms of soulmate relationship. They will astral travel, whether it's, I doubt highly, very highly doubt that they're consciously aware of it. But in a sleep state, the souls do tend to gravitate to one another, especially in a soulmate relationship. And
I can only count three of them that have made it. And the latest one that I had mentioned to you left speechless because it was a very specific type of astral travel.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying, and that does happen. Soulmates go to sleep, they're going to find each other because the soul is in command. And when we are unconscious or asleep, the soul is free to travel. And the soulmates will find one another just to feel that closeness, to talk, to connect, to say, hi, how are you doing?
Do you feel now and then when people travel, they may be there to relay or communicate a message?
Absolutely, especially if they've passed on. Absolutely.
So here's a question that someone who may be outside of the spiritual realm wondering, how can you differentiate between an astral visitor and a spirit?
For me, there is no difference. If I am communicating with the soul, I'm communicating with the soul. Death is just a physical form of our consciousness or the spiritual death, not spiritual death, I'm sorry, but the bodily death or the physical death. The soul is alive. Very much alive. So if I am in a state, a meditative state, or if a visitor comes to me, an astral visitor, when I'm asleep, there is no difference. I'm speaking with a soul, not a physical body. So if I come to and wake up, then I have to ask myself or find the information, is this person alive in flesh or not? The soul does change. We are literally physical beings walking around with souls attached.
So while I was doing some of the research for the astral dimension, and I had amped up my research probably in the past 3-4 months, and this kind of ties into the type of clients we may read for time to time. One person had asked that you could use astral traveling to heal, self-heal, or bring closure to a open situation, but then there are some people who think that they could astral travel to spy on people. And then I stopped reading the questions because you know that stupidity has no bounds. What are your thoughts when people have that? What are your thoughts when people want to apply spiritual development tools, but not for the right reasons?
A warning, be very careful. Be extremely careful. I mean, for me, if I were to, and I've never consciously astral traveled, but if I were, I would make sure that I were vibrating in light. I would make sure that I had protection as far as my guides and my angels and God himself or herself. And there is no way that I would want to use that because that opens up a whole different level of darkness. And if you believe in Satan and if you believe in hell and if you believe in the dark side, that really can open you up to a dark level of spiritual, I just want to say spiritual darkness is the only way that I can term it. If we're going to use it, for light, for good, for humanity, for healing, for soul retrieval, whatever the case might be, those things are of light. But if we're going to use it to invade another person or to work against this person's free will, whatever the case may be, then we're opening up a can of worms to the dark side. That's my feeling on it. And my observation.
Thank you for stressing that, because a lot of people think just because you escape the physical realm that you could do whatever you want and not have any consequences. And one of the things that are stressed is that you have to ground your energy, but you also have to protect your energy. Just because you leave the physical plane, it doesn't mean that your energy cannot get attacked or be compromised.
Absolutely not. And even offering a reading to a client, I protect myself because if we believe that there are good spirits and angels, we also have to believe in the other side of it too. We can't believe in one without believing in the other. So, absolutely. I would highly, highly recommend not to be traveling it, to, or not to be using any spiritual gift as a form of anything that is not of love and light and of God.
You and I kind of fall under that. Just because you have certain abilities, you can use them in any way possible, and you have immunity. And it doesn't work that way in the eyes of the laws of nature.
No, not in universal law and not under the direction of the divine. Absolutely not. We have free will. There's no doubt about it. We have free will. And those of us who have spiritual gifts, we have an obligation to use those in love and light. It's an obligation. It's a gift, yes, but the obligation to use it. It's, for me, it's just having a gun for protection. I'm not going to randomly go out and shoot someone just because I have this weapon or this gift. I wouldn't use a gun to harm anyone or to shoot anyone. Why would I want to use my spiritual gifts to do that?
I like that example that you shared. Yes, for us as working professionals, but also for the client,
yes,
because they think,
yes,
that if they go to a professional, they're covered under that umbrella. And it says, no, you have to work on your development. You're an individual.
Yes.
You can't have that codependent relationship, or that turns really toxic and nasty.
No, we're all personally responsible. My feeling, my thinking, my belief system is one day I will stand before the divine. And I don't want to be standing there saying, I astral traveled to spy on my husband, or I astral traveled to spy on my girlfriend to see what they were gossiping about. Whatever the case may be, it's invasive, it's intrusive, and my laws that govern me and my spirit and my soul wouldn't allow that.
That's a good rule to adhere by, but also given who you and I are, we already carry the burden with our abilities of knowing how people perceive us or what is going through their mind. And
yeah,
that itself is a lot for us to digest and work with and know how to coexist with people. And, of course, you and I both happen to be people of faith, that we also know that God allows us to see and have access to information to the degree that we can make better choices, but you and,
yes,
I also have individual life lessons to learn. So,
yes,
forget about me wanting to astral travel anywhere to get more information. And then you also have to deal with information that has to do with taking care of yourself and protecting yourself.
Yes, taking care of yourself, protecting yourself is key to being effective at what we do.
Knowing how, having an idea of how people perceive you, and this goes more from a spiritual plane, not the day-to-day practical realm, how do you digest and work with that information when you know that you're in an environment where people have all different types of opinions of you, or you have to be a little bit more guarded because there may be some surprises coming around the corner?
That's an interesting question. I am very blessed that I work full-time in the spiritual field. I am blessed that I've overcome all of that. It took me a long time to let go of what others thought of me. I do not walk out the door and meet what I would refer to in my life as normal people and tell them what I do for a living. I do not just walk out and say, hi, I'm a psychic reader. When I'm asked what I do, I say I'm a life coach and leave it at that, which is not lying. It's just saving me from what you're asking, how to handle it. That's how I handle it. And beyond that, I have learned that, honestly, what others think about me isn't any of my business. It took me a long time to overcome that, a very long time. And as long as I am exercising and walking in self-love, and I know that sounds hokey, but having worked in this field for 34 years, love is not hokey. It's what work is, what causes others to become more accepting of who we are as light workers. And the ego, let go of that ego. Let it go.
And it takes a lot of work for us to constantly to keep the ego in check.
Yes, it does. It's our worst enemy. But once we master it, we don't care what others think, and now I don't want to blatantly walk out the door right now and say, hi, I'm a psychic reader. I wouldn't do that. But you will reach a point where you just are accepting of who you are, and if others can accept you, that's okay.
But I've also learned through experiences that if you are very well accepting of yourself, it may make other people uncomfortable around you, but the one great feeling I could walk away with is I'm unapologetic. And I know it's taken a village to get me to that point, and you have to maintain it.
Yes, you do. And it, I know we do make people uncomfortable. I'm not playing that down by any stretch of the imagination. I know we do.
But it's
we have
okay.
To
people like to do that to us.
That's right. They do. They do. We do. We make people uncomfortable. So I don't broadcast. Just don't broadcast it.
Likewise. All right. I could relate to that. On the astral topic, I know that when we, for those who travel out, you're in a whole different dimension, and it also requires a different level of opening up. But for those who are probably crossing paths with you and I today for the first time, would you like to briefly share your opening up experience as a kid, which I also recall you shared with my audience years ago when you came? I alluded to, was it normal? I remember as a kid that my mom and my aunt would always put shrouds on the mirrors, and I never understood what that was, and that you had shared with me that you were also accustomed to that, and as young as about 3 years old, you had memories of remembering and speaking to spirits.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. My first encounter through a mirror was when I was around three. Yes, I was speaking to spirits through mirrors, as a matter of fact. I'd forgotten all about that. Wow, we go back a long time, Sasha. I believe the first encounter was with a nun through the mirror. Is that the one you're referring to?
I know there are many. Or you could talk about the opening up, what you had to go through. Like, for example, my teenage years were painful. I would have sleep paralysis, I would be astral traveling, night sweat, and I would literally feel spirits on me.
I grew up in a house very much like that.
And it was nightmarish until later I started understanding what was happening, because when you're a kid, everything is, I thought other children were just like me.
So did I. I really thought that other children were like me. It was just normal. It was just absolutely normal for a piano to be playing in the middle of the night and for me to go to sleep scared, really frightened because I didn't know what I was going to see, who I was going to see, who was going to visit, the night sweats, the night, but those are so far in the background now. They're just, as you brought it up, I'm remembering, it just seems so far in the background. But absolutely, it wasn't pleasant growing up.
Yeah, I did not look forward to going to bed at that during that entire phase. Mm. But let's move on to lighter topics, because I thought I was a little curious if you had similar experiences, because it took me at least 3 decades to run into someone who also had a similar childhood. So, because it's not the type of stuff you could discuss with any adult.
No,
they'll look at you like you have 10 heads.
Yes, I mean, really, it's something that we don't meet people like us that grew up with those experiences. I wouldn't want it for any other child. I didn't enjoy any moment of it. I don't even know what I learned through it other than a stronger faith in God, because it was not easy to see and talk and know that I was being watched by spirits, and not all of them were pleasant.
For those that are interested in exploring astral travel, before they start engaging in the actual activity, what guidance would you have for them?
Before they start engaging?
Yes.
To make sure that they are vibrating on a higher level of consciousness, meaning in simple terms that they are doing it of love and light, that they are protected by guards and angels. And when I say guardians, I mean angels. And by God. You had mentioned something about the silver cord. We do have a silver cord that is attached from the soul to the body. Now, there are different estimations on how long this cord is. So how far do you want to travel to find out? Because if that cord snaps, you won't be returning to your physical body. In other words, just protect yourself. Make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And make sure that you're protected.
Yes. So I will just allude briefly to my personal experience, something that I had completely overlooked. Given what I do, it probably would have been the first thing I would have thought of. But as you and I know, that a while back when I was in my in an accident, I had gone through a lot. And it was after a year following the accident, I had decided to entertain a healing session. And the person said that we need to put you back into your body because you're not completely in there. So following the healing session, I walked out and I had never felt that whole. And I told myself, given the work you do, it should have been a thought that crossed your mind that you're not completely in your body. And I was walking around coexisting, and I know I was in a lot of pain for at least 15 months. And when I went through the healing session, it was like a night and day difference.
That's interesting. Because, first of all, I'm really sorry that you went through all of that. And I'm grateful that you've healed and you're still with us because we need you. Have you ever really thought about it? I was thinking about it this morning as I was praying about your show. Have you really ever sat and thought about it? Being a reader or being a gifted woman, have you ever really felt inside your body? Have you ever been just present?
Very good question. For most of the time, no. And I know in the past 6 months, I've been astral traveling in my waking life, and I catch mm-hmm. myself when I'm doing day-to-day stuff like driving or taking care of my errand. And I know exactly where I've astral traveled to. It's so particular that I literally feel emotionally and mentally I am at that location.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall I had shared with you over a year ago that physically, I may be in different parts of the world, but my body and my spirit keeps on going back to that same place.
Well, my suggestion is to find out why. What is it that's calling your soul to that particular place? My astral traveling, like I said, up until Italy 3 years ago, was all unconscious. I was always asleep. For you to be awake and to be traveling to this place, find out why. 3 years ago, no, it was not normal at all, and this is why I say, you know, this is what's happening to you. But given that you're traveling to the same place over and over, there's a reason. Follow those curiosities and find out why.
And as a follow-up to your question, when was the last time you felt so alive and present?
This morning. I guess since I feel that I have finally conquered ego, finally, after years of fighting it, for the past few weeks, every morning I wake up feeling whole and present. Not inside my body. That's never going to happen. I've come to that conclusion. That's never going to happen because I am a spiritual person. But I feel whole. I feel present. I take care of my body. I do all the things to nurture it, to love it, to take care of it, to feed it, to cut it. I do all of those things. But I feel whole today. I feel whole sitting right here, speaking with you, speaking with the audience.
What a wonderful feeling.
Yes, it is. And I've worked hard to get here, but a lot of stumbles, and I don't want any more. So every day it's a conscious decision that I make to wake up.
It is a lot of work.
It is. It is. And as soon as we say it, something happens. So anyways, today I feel great and I feel whole and I feel balanced and very grateful to be alive and grateful for this body and grateful for the soul and the balance between the two and knowing that they're very separate but the same.
Yes. Well, ego is the thing that often kind of entices us to either slow down and do it another way. And there's just some lessons in life that there's only one way of going through it and coming out on the other end. And I'm sure
and
you laugh because compared to when you met me many, many, many years ago and how I am now.
You are amazing. You are just amazing. You're not the same person that you were many, many years ago. Your spiritual growth is astounding. You're a beautiful, wonderful soul. What you feel, I mean, you have been through your trials and tribulations. You have. I've watched you go through it. I've heard you go through it. And you just come out stronger each time. Each time you just come out stronger. And that's what trials and tribulations are about. They are there to make us spiritually stronger people. And that's what you do. So now you're going through some astral traveling. Embrace it. You're going to you really will come to love it.
Well, you know what? The more I started meditating on it, I know that I've been doing it for a good portion of my life. But once it started taking up a good portion of my, I would say, my awareness, that's when I started questioning it. As we start to wrap things up, Lady Catherine, mm-hmm. where can people reach out to you?
I have a new site that was just launched. I haven't even advertised it yet, but this is the one I will be going with. From here on out, I will return back to the former name of LadyKatherineLythe.com. LadyKatherineLythe, live, LIVE.com. And it launches, mm-hmm. I believe it, I'm going to launch it on May 15th.
Really? Oh, okay. That sounds like the date for the month.
It is the date for the month. It's the date that's been given to me for you, for me.
And we look forward to those. Great things coming our way. And just for curiosity's sake, and I often ask this to people who drop by, what is the greatest lesson that you've learned in the past year that we could possibly learn from?
The greatest lesson that I have learned in the past year is what I thought was faith is not faith. I had to literally stand on faith this past year in a way that I've never had to in the past 54 years of life. Never have I ever been faced with the type of faith that I've had to stand on this past year. For me, my greatest lesson this past year was faith. To just know that it's done and to let go of outcome. I can't control anything except what is right here in front of me today. I learned to stay out of yesterday and I learned to stay out of tomorrow. All I can do is stay right here with what's in front of me right now and believe and know that tomorrow is already taken care of, as long as I do what needs to be done today. So faith.
I am sure that resonates with many of us out there. It takes a lot to stay in faith.
It does. It takes a lot. We all want to know what's coming. We all want to know the next step. We all want to know. But sometimes the answers are just not there. And when the answers are not there, what do we have? We can either fall apart and fall down, or we can stand in faith and say, I know that it's already been provided. I know that it's already been mapped out. I can't prove it. I don't need to prove it. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I need to do. All I can do is call on the divine and know that it's there, it's done. And it works out because it is already done. It's already ordained. It's already established. We're the ones that get in the way.
It's often when we have to stay in faith and we're surrounded by those who aren't in faith, that's when it's challenging because we have to make sure that your core doesn't waver.
Oh, it is very challenging, and I admire people like yourself and others that are out in the world. Out in the world, it's not easy.
I always appreciate the insights you bring. Because there's never a dull moment, because I know that offline you and I explore many spiritual topics.
Yeah.
And we try our best to keep it on a level where people could digest it without turning it into a very complex delivery of the messages. Are there any new projects that you are working on in your spiritual development that you would like to share with the audience?
I'm always working on something. I think the newest project that I'm working on is spiritual development. It's actually a step ascension through astrology. I am loving every moment of it. It has caused me to grow by leaps and bounds. I can't say enough about it. I am working under the direction of a psychologist whom I admire, look up to. His teachings have been invaluable through the use of psychic astrology. I have learned to overcome ego, and that's my main project. My main project right now is me and the ascension through astrology, through his teachings. My website is a project I'm working on, and that's about it as far as new projects.
And guys, if you want to check out her website, which will be coming out in a matter of days, it will be LadyCatherineLive.com. You could also write to her, and that information was on one of her prior appearances on Sasha Talk. It is CatherineLady0@gmail.com, and her professional contact will be relayed on the Sasha Talks platform. Lady Catherine, I appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your insights today.
Thank you. It was wonderful being here.
Thank you, everyone. If you have any questions, go to SashaTalks.com, leave feedback, your thoughts, and I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. It's hard for me when my heart's still on the mend. Open up to me like you do your girlfriends. And you sing to me and it's harmony. Girl, what you do to me is everything that they say.